Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people at Boston, and everybody else in between. We're breaking it down. We're throwing it down. And we're not done yet. Tim May is going to step up and in. Was at the Columbus Dispatch for 42 years, man. Now on Letterman Row, covering Ohio State football since 1984. We're going to talk Ohio State and Alabama. Of course, we've talked a lot about the National Football League playoffs over the last couple of nights, but we're not forgetting about this title game. As frustrating and as annoying and as deceitful as college athletics can be, from a pure football standpoint, this game really is as good as it gets. And from a pure NFL scouting standpoint, this game is about as good as it gets. All right? You can talk all you want about how, oh, you know what, good players come from all schools and stuff. Yeah, do they? Do they? How's that Carson Wentz, North Dakota State, first overall pick working out for you? Right? And listen, there are exceptions. Look at Josh Allen. Josh Allen received scholarship offers from two schools. Think about that. From two schools out of all the schools out there. All right, out of all the college football programs in America, he sent 1,000 emails and letters to people, to coaches and to programs. You know who responded? Two schools. Eastern Michigan, who are like literally like the worst school and one of the worst programs in America. They're a little better now, but it's bad there. All right, like I've been there. It's in the middle of nowhere, Michigan. It's bad. All right, and Wyoming. All right, and yes, Josh Allen has developed into a great NFL quarterback right now. He still has work to do, but he's developed into a good NFL quarterback. But the fact of the matter is, pedigree does matter, right? Pedigree does matter. And it's not like, oh, did you win a championship? Nobody cares. Let's just be honest. Nobody cares. I don't care. GMs don't care, right? I guarantee you, all right, when Devontae Smith shows up to the NFL Combine, which he won't have to do very much when he gets there, but when he does, nobody's going to ask him if he won the championship game or not. They're just going to say, holy crap, I want to give this kid $96 million right now. Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Vent your rage. Bring it.
Coming at you all day.
Every day.
With more attitude than other lesser networks would deem appropriate. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Oh yeah, it's all set. They got the bug boy out.
The bug boy, yeah.
The little fella's been riding his heart out. They're gonna break his maiden.
Really?
Yeah, but it's a little slow out there. It rained last night. Oh, this baby loves the slop. Loves it. Eats it up. Eats the slop. Born the slop. His father was a mutter.
His father was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
What did I just say?
Sports Race Late Night continues. I'm Renzi. There's a story over at Larry Brown Sports right now. Eagle players had to be restrained from going after Doug Peterson. Eagle players were outraged. Outraged, and coaches were outraged and shocked by Peterson's decisions. Two offensive starters reportedly approached Peterson to question him about his in-game decisions and taking Hurts out of the game. There are reports, Philadelphia Inquirer's Jeff McLean reports that two defensive players had to be restrained from going after Peterson. I got to tell you guys something right now, man. Like, is there anyone in this division that's just not a little whiny, like, son of a, like, seriously? The Philadelphia Eagles are outraged? You guys are outraged? You're a loser team, too. Like, who hasn't complained? Like, the Giants have complained. The Giants have complained. Jerry Jones has whined all year. Oh, we were put in a tough spot. Everything's hard. No, Mike McCarthy's a great coach. All these guys are delusional. Joe Judge is crying. Giant players are crying. Guys, you're a laughingstock. You're the worst division ever. All right? And the fact of the matter is, as we stated, it's not crazy that the backup quarterbacks play the last game of the year. And it's not the Philadelphia Eagles' problem what the playoff situation is. And even though I don't believe, I think it's overrated when people, we'll get a higher draft pick. Whatever, dude. GMs screw this stuff up all the time, right? I mean, the Eagles had a higher draft pick last year, and they decided to take Rieger instead of Jefferson. Let's be real, right? You know what I'm saying? We can get into this stuff. But there is a difference between 6 and 9. And the thing is, the Philadelphia Eagles, they need to clean house. All right? They need to clean house. They've been hanging on to the Super Bowl team. It's over. It's done. You got a bunch of old linemen. It's over. You got to move on. So, like, honestly, I don't give a crap if you Eagle players don't like it. And another thing is, too, guys, Jalen Hurts was 7 of 20, just for the record. He was 7 of 20. It's not like the Eagles' offense was lighting it up. I never bet unders. Hell, I bet the under because I knew there would not be a lot of points in the game because the Eagles' offense won't light it up. Also, people in the DFS world were taking Nate Sudfeld. It's, you know, like we said, guys, like, you know, Joe Judge was crying about people putting sacrifice in. Yeah, like Nate Sudfeld put sacrifice in too, coach. Whether you like it or not, he did too. And so did other backups on the Philadelphia Eagles. And that happens all the time. It happens all the time. It's a reward. It's like, listen, you know what? We appreciate you being the practice guy all year and, like, you know, you getting no attention and you showed up every day. And you know what? It's a reward. You know what? You get to play the fourth quarter of this. It's not rocket science, this stuff. So what? Are the Philadelphia Eagles supposed to bend over backwards and change their lives because the New York Giants, like, need to get in? When the New York Giants had a 21-10 lead against the Philadelphia Eagles with 6 minutes left in a football game 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? Is that the same situation? Yeah. Like I said, who the hell isn't whining? And now that the Eagle players are complaining, you guys have sucked rocks all year. you guys are complaining. Like, what the hell are you complaining about? You know what I mean? Like, you guys have been stealing money all year yourselves. Like, come on, man. You know, like I said, who isn't complaining here? You know who isn't complaining? Ron Rivera, the guy that had cancer and went through cancer treatment this year. He didn't complain. And all these teams with excuses, right? The Giants are blaming the Eagles. Jerry Jones is blaming injuries. and COVID. Giant players blame the Eagles. Joe Judge blames the Eagles. Eagle players are upset and blaming Doug Peterson. But you notice the one common theme here. The one team that hasn't bitched out, Washington. Dealing with head case quarterbacks, crazy owner. You don't even have a name for the team. You got nothing, right? You got nothing going for you. Ron Rivera comes in here. You got a million different quarterbacks. Heineke, Alex Smith is on one leg. Guy's had 17 surgeries in the last 14 months or 12 months. You know what I mean? Like, really? And everyone else is bitch. That's why Washington won. We should have known their mental toughness. You got Chase Young. He might be young, but he seems like a pretty wise man already. I'll tell you that. I don't know if you guys heard. They compared him to Ray Lewis the other night. And they said, I know these are strong words, but and people said, strong words, but they said from a leadership like type perspective, like he's contagious. That basically that he's a great player, and when he talks, people listen, and he gets people fired up, very positive. Like I talked about it before with this dude on the sidelines, very, very positive. So, man, like I said, the Giants, Joe Judge, really, dude, you won 6 games. Eagle players, shut up, man. You're Philadelphia Eagle players. You guys sucked all year. Nate Sudfeld deserved a couple of snaps. Wasn't his fault. It was a low snap, and they fumbled the ball. Whatever. You guys are acting like, oh, yeah. Like, everyone acts like, oh, yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win this game by 13 points, right? You realize they were 6.5-point underdogs, everybody. Everybody knew. Like, does Joe Judge know this? No. No. All right. We got Tim Make stepping up and in a couple of minutes. Did I just hear Matthias? Do we have somebody checking in right now, Matthias? We've had great audio. And even with George Kurtz, shout out to Kurtz. But right now, as we speak, sort of having a hard time just hearing our production crew, but it's all right. We're going to a break anyways in a minute. We got Tim May coming up. Listen, I probably will take some phone calls tomorrow. We'll open up the phone lines later in the week. Don't forget, we're actually launching on SiriusXM, and we're going to be live on Sirius earlier in the evening and stuff. So we're going to open up the phone lines. It's a little bit different aspect than the format that we have going on right now, in which we're live on, a ton of networks. But we're on at different times and different time zones, and the show replays. So when it's actually locked in live, we'll open up the phone lines, although Sirius phone lines could get serious. The SiriusXM phone lines, things could actually get pretty serious. Yeah, like I said, I'm just tired of everyone complaining, all right? Yeah, everybody's got a beef, and I just can't believe Joe Judge, of all people. It's like, really? You're a coach, bro. You should know better. You should know better, coach. You're a coach of a 6-win team, and you're going to call out another 6-win team? Like, what the hell are you doing? So, Super Bowl matchups, as we threw out there, Kansas City, Green Bay, +440. Kansas City versus New Orleans is +600. Kansas City versus Tampa Bay is +900. Kansas City versus Seattle. So as you can see, the books are pretty locked in here. FanDuel is locked in. The Kansas City are going to make it. All right, so you pick KC, and then you sort of pick their dance partner, and you get a decent price. KC and Green Bay makes sense. It almost makes too much sense, though, doesn't it? It almost makes too much sense. Buffalo, Green Bay makes sense, but almost is too trendy now. It's like, yeah, is that really going to happen? It could happen. Is there something weird coming along the way here? Is it going to be like are the Bills really making it to the Super Bowl? I'm a Bills fan, but let's not get carried away. I mean, they haven't won a damn playoff game in 25 years, whatever it's been. So let's not talk about Super Bowls yet. They are a dangerous football team. I think Baltimore are the dark horse right now in the AFC. I do think Buffalo are the team to beat. I think Buffalo can beat Kansas City. But if we're talking dark horses here, I think Baltimore could get dangerous right now. They're getting hot at the right time. They've got a chip on their shoulder. Harbaugh's a good coach, Super Bowl caliber coach. Tim May steps up and in. We get into the national championship game. Bring it.
We do this 24 hours a day, every day.
It's real.
And it's here. We've got to come up with a better name for it than fantasy sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are 24 hours in every day,
1,440 minutes,
86,400 seconds, and we still have trouble squeezing all this glorious
sports talk in.
Have you thought about maybe sleeping less?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Get on the grid. The countdown to kickoff is on. Of course, we've got a monster weekend of football coming up. 6 wild card games and the national championship. Let's talk college football. Let's talk Ohio State football right now with a man who's been at the Columbus Dispatch for 42 years, now on Letterman Row, been covering Ohio State football since 1984. Tim May steps up in it and joins us. Tim, a happy new year, happy holidays. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us on Sports Rage Late Night.
Same to you, Gabriel. By the way, your intro makes it sound like I'm an old man, which I am. I'm 66, but I'm looking very much forward to this game, that's for sure.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not 22, Tim, all right? I'm not 22.
There you go.
To put it in college football terms, and let me just get the elephant out of the room right now. I am a Michigan guy. I'm a Michigan fan, all right?
Let's put the elephant. Wait a minute. Let's get another elephant in there. Speaking of being stupid, I grew up in Alabama, so I went to Alabama home games from 61 to 64 with my dad and my older brother. So there's a lot of elephants walking around.
Yeah, there are. There are. So I've been a hardcore Michigan fan and college football fan since the late 70s. You know, I got into it. I'm 50 right now. So, you know, when I was 7, 8 years old type thing. So I've been watching college football my whole life. And I am excited for this matchup. So let me ask you before we get into the Buckeye situation. You've been covering college football a long time. So you've been, you've been in the system where, you know, the AP poll was the be-all, end-all. You saw the BCS. Now we've seen the college football playoff. Which one do you personally prefer? And which one do you think has gotten it right the most over the years?
You know, I used to say I preferred the BCS only because I thought, you know, two teams, it was pretty obvious at the end of the year who the two teams were for the most part that were the best teams in the country should play for the championship. This season is another example of why, and just like the first season of the college football playoff is an example why I think Ohio State was the last team to get in it, number 4, and they won it all. And we all saw, you know, when number 2 played number 3 the other night, Clemson versus Ohio State was clearly the better team and ran roughshod over them. And, you know, in the old BCS era, those two games, Ohio State beating Alabama back in 14 in the semis, and Ohio State beating Clemson, for example, in the semis, those would have never happened. This year you would have had Alabama versus Clemson. So I'm a proponent of the 4. I am not a proponent of the 8 for a lot of reasons, and one of which is, you know, you saw the intensity of those two games over the weekend on Friday, especially Ohio State-Clemson, guys going out of the game, even Ohio State's starting quarterback going out of the game for a play when he got hit with that massive hit. I mean, 3 games of that intensity in a row would not be good for college football players, I don't believe, and their rosters. So I like the way it is right now. And, you know, the other thing is, Like I said, I grew up going to Alabama home games back in the 60s. Bear Bryant, you know, walked on water, or at least he knew where the rocks were. And back then, you just got a – it was a popular vote. It was a poll vote, you know, who was the national champion. Nick Saban has had a much tougher road to hoe since he's been the Ohio State – the Alabama, excuse me, head coach. He's had to win these things on the field with his teams. And I think this is – In that regard, this is truly the golden era of college football when you get right down to it. The way these games, some of these games we've seen over the last these last many years of the BCS back to 98 and then the CFP since 2014.
I guess you can say, Tim, as you mentioned, a golden era, and a lot of people get frustrated and there sort of becomes fatigue. We see it in different sports. Oh, the Golden State Warriors and the Cavaliers again. Oh, it's the Dodgers again, the Astros again. But the fact of the matter is, and you've been watching college football a long time, these teams have never been as good as this, right? And we can't blame Alabama. We can't blame Ohio State. We can't blame Clemson for just being better than everybody else right now. But something that I found that, you know, was interesting, and so Ohio State wins 2014/15, yet, I really didn't realize off the top of my head, as you stated, they came in number four then. They come in number four. Yeah. So is there a common pattern of disrespect to the Big Ten? And, you know, for lack of a better term, but it is a late night show here, Tim, who's the conference that got their ass handed to them this year? The ACC. The ACC got blown out in both the playoff games. They went 0-6 in the bowl games, and everybody's questioning Ohio State and the Big Ten's pedigree. Come on, Tim.
Oh, yeah, well, they'll do that for a year. They'll do that for these next couple of months. Hey, Gabriel, there's no doubt that Clemson is on another level when it comes to the ACC. I mean, they're on another level, but the, you know, week in and week out, the competition you play in that league, you know, it really is truly bipolar almost, how good or bad a team you can be playing at, from one week to the next, roster depth-wise, et cetera. The Big Ten is much closer in that regard. Now, you know, I say that even though Ohio State has held sway now four straight seasons in the Big Ten, four straight championships, but, you know, it's – And then you've seen, you know, and the thing about the Big 12 is, you know, the worst case scenario almost is seeing a Big 12 team in a bowl game because they're just going to come out and wear you out throwing the ball, et cetera, with a wide open offense. But, yeah, I think the ACC has been found out. And it's really, you know, the Big 10 didn't get to play a full schedule, not even close. So I understand the skepticism to a certain extent about how much they should be rewarded, should have been rewarded in this postseason. But when you see the ACC with its one-year member Notre Dame and then Clemson and then North Carolina all get New Year's Six bowl bursts or college football playoff bursts, and the Big Ten got one, which is Ohio State, you know, that might have been a little overboard in rewarding what I think is an average conference from the standpoint of member strength. But, you're right. You make judgments from one year to the next, and, you know, if Ohio State pulls off this game on Monday night, you're going to be saying, hey, you know, boy, really, really, really miscalculated the Big Ten and how strong it was. And we all know that Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson are on another level compared to almost any other program in the country right now just because of recruiting. And that's not going to change next year either, it doesn't look like.
You know, I thought it was interesting, and not just interesting, but stupid, actually, when people were holding against Ohio State, and, you know, including, and I want to get your take on Dabo, but many, you know, many in the national media and coaches, oh, they didn't play as many games. As I stated, guys, I'm a Michigan fan. Did we need to see Ohio State win 56-12 to know that they were going to win that game? No, they were going to win that game. They were 28.5-point favorites. They would have won that game. Does would have made it people feel better about it? I guess, maybe. But you know, and listen, the Big Ten wasn't great this year. I get it, but you know, it's this built-in perception, and as you stated, seems like the ACC has a big, has a seat at the adult table right now. And look at Notre Dame. Notre Dame gets into the ACC and causes Clemson problems right away. Like, you know, let's
there you
Clemson,
go.
Yeah, right away causes Clemson problems. They play twice, they lose once.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, Here's the thing. The thing I give Dabo Swinney credit for is he owned his vote, meaning he owned why he voted Ohio State number 11. There's no way that he thought Ohio State was only the 11th best team in the country. He just didn't think they'd had enough, played enough games to really, when a lot of other programs figured out ways to play 8, 9, 10, 11 games this year, he didn't think that Ohio State was deserving to be in that consideration, and he explained it. You know, whether you agree with him, you know, that's for, you know, I did not agree with him because, but I agree with his right to say what he did and vote the way he did. But I would throw back at him is Clemson got a chance to right a wrong by playing more games because they got another shot at Notre Dame. You know, so was that fair, you know, for you to get a shot at a team that beat you before, you know, in this season? So there are all kinds of ways you can look at it. But, yeah, I mean, this was always going to be a screwed up year, screwed up season, and it was in all kinds of respects. I mean, you know, when you look at the ACC giving Clemson and Notre Dame the weekend off before their championship game, was that fair? You know, I mean, who knows? But it was always going to be a screwed up year. I think the College Football Playoff Committee got it right. I mean, I think Notre Dame, if you think Clemson's number two, and you know Notre Dame beat your number two team, then probably Notre Dame deserves another shot in the College Football Playoff. But, you know, where's that leave Texas A&M, et cetera? Well, left them out in the cold. But they had a shot against Alabama and got beat, got beat pretty bad way back when. So there are all kinds of ways you can look at it. But I think they ended up with the top four teams, in my opinion.
And I think we've ended up with the top two teams. The two hungriest teams as well. It's amazing to me how Nick Saban keeps the desire alive. He, you know, never gets tired of winning. The program never lets up. They never exhale. They haven't had that. Well, yeah, they've been on a run, but they're kind of, they just keep dialing it up all the time. And I've heard coaches say this year in the SEC, they've said after, they're like, that's the best Alabama team we played. And people would say, oh, come on, you played a lot of great Bama teams. They're like, no, this is the most dominant and difficult to stop Alabama team that we've seen over the years. So listen, Tim, time just flew by here. I thought we'd squeeze in a segment here, but if you can give us a couple of more minutes, we'll take a quick break in a second.
Sure.
We'll get into this actual football game and some of the matchups. And I'm curious to your take, because everybody talks so much about Dabo Swinney. Obviously, Nick Saban deserves the hype. Matt Campbell. People, you know, talk about all these. Now, Steve Sarkisian. People don't talk nationally a lot about Ryan Day. They just don't.
Well,
and it's almost like he doesn't get credit. Yeah, and he doesn't get credit because, it's almost like he's inherited something from Urban. But I think the inheritance is gone. He's earning his own keep right now. But we're going to take a break here right now. And we'll continue to break it down. We have the national championship game. We're breaking it down. We're on Letterman Row right now with Tim May. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
You can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, or the internet. Eight technology grand. Keep it here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't think of us as just sports talk. Think of us as a full immersion crash course in sports news you can use. You listen, you learn. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We really appreciate Tim May's time right now as we're talking the national championship. We're talking Ohio State and Alabama football. And growing up in Alabama, he's got ties to both programs, obviously. So talk to me about Coach Day a little bit. Urban Meyer, larger-than-life guy, national figure, multiple champion, and then the sort of little-known Ryan Day takes over. And, they put pressure on Harbaugh. In Ann Arbor. And then it became, well, if you can't beat them now, man, if you can't beat them now, when are you going to beat them? And I don't know if that's fair because I heard the same thing at Oklahoma when Stoops stepped down right before the season and everybody laughed. They said, who the hell is Lincoln Riley? And how the hell is this 32-year-old guy going to take over this program? Ooh, Oklahoma's going to be in trouble. He's kept it going. Everybody praises Lincoln Riley for it. Not a lot of national praise for what Coach Day has accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, kind of reminds me of auto racing, you know. Certain cars and teams just have better equipment and better cars, you know. And the difference is the driver. And if you get an average driver and put him in a great race car, he's got to probably be more average than he is great. And Ryan Day has shown when he took over for three games at the start of the 2018 season, when Urban Meyer was, in my opinion, unjustifiably suspended for three games. I don't want to even get into that, but it was crazy. Ryan Day took advice from everybody he could, including two former head coaches on the staff, and got the job done. They went 3-0. And before he turned the team back over to Urban Meyer. And, you know, this guy is a person who continues to learn. You know, he's from New Hampshire, learned under Chip Kelly when Ryan Day was a quarterback at New Hampshire, learned under Chip Kelly, who was the offensive coordinator there at the time. He's coached under Chip Kelly a couple of times, but also took 2 years in the NFL with Chip Kelly at the Philadelphia Eagles and in San Francisco 49ers. But he's just like Urban Meyer. He is hungry to learn more each day. I mean, you know, he's like a sponge. It just keeps sopping up the stuff that he gets in contact with. The leadership he's shown, especially in the last, feels like 10 years, but the last 9 or 10 months of this COVID-19 challenge has been crazy. And he and his staff have stepped up, rolled with every punch from looking like they weren't even going to get to play in 2020 to fighting for the chance to play to then overcoming some COVID challenges within the ranks, you know, and then just kept moving on. But, it's smart. You know, when you've got a smart guy on your hands is when he surrounds himself with people who will challenge him or have seen as much or a lot more football than he has. You know, one of his first hires was getting Greg Madison to help be a defensive coordinator, going up to Michigan and getting him and Al Washington Jr. Imagine the audacity of hiring two people from Jim Harbaugh's staff in 2019. And then right on down the line, you know, he changed at the quarterback coaching spot now. And now you got Corey Dennis, who is Urban Meyer's son-in-law. But he's been in the ranks for a while and got this great promotion. But just right on down the line, he's got fantastic staff around him that I could go on and name, you know, all of them, but I won't bore you with that. But the bottom line is that's the way he looked at it. But he also enjoys the college game because there are a lot more things you can do in the college game as an offensive coach like he is than you can get away with in the NFL. And I think he really, really, truly enjoys that.
23-1 record, guys. 23-1 record. I don't think people realize that. We're in conversation with Tim May of Letterman Row. So let's talk about Ohio State's quarterback. Big hit. What did you think? What did you think of the ejection, the targeting? And what specifically was wrong with Justin? Man, he got hit a bunch of times through the game. Kid obviously showed his toughness. And I love the video that you posted on your Twitter of Cam Newton. I'm saying this is the kid right here. This is the best high school quarterback in the country right here. It's great to see Cam, you know, supporting the kid at the time. But what was wrong? What's his health status coming into the week right now, Tim?
Yeah, this isn't the NFL. This is more like covering the Patriots in the NFL. They don't really they don't give you any specific information. And of course, with COVID-19, you can't even snoop around, you know, right now physically. You know, behind the scenes, you know, you get the impression this was a pretty good whack to his lower rib cage, possibly even, you know, maybe his upper pelvis or whatever. But they determined pretty quickly he didn't have a life-threatening or a health-threatening injury. It was more of a contusion. I mean, you can tell that by the way they handled it because they took him in the tent. And as he said, shot him up with a couple of things, and he went back out there. And that happens, you know, almost every weekend in any major college, even high school, but pro game out there, you know. But there's, as Ryan Day said on a teleconference today. You know, he expects him to play against Alabama. He didn't get into the specifics about the injury in any form or fashion, but there is the thought that he's going to be okay to play. I mean, it's funny because going into that game on Friday night, he had sprained his thumb against the win over Northwestern when they couldn't get the passing game going and turned to their overland or running game, which is another story I'm sure we're going to talk about. But his thumb seemed to be A-okay. So against Clemson, if it wasn't, man, imagine him beating Clemson with two good thumbs. That would be unbelievable.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And you know this, man. How many, like, great quarterbacks, how many great Sugar Bowls have there been over the years? And he set all kinds of Sugar Bowl records. Like, what an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Like, how many great quarterbacks have played in that game? And, like, just thinking, like, come on, there must have been a couple of track meet high-scoring games over the years where somebody threw six, seven touchdowns. Nope, because of the elite competition. What an accomplishment. So, man, time is flying by here. So, one thing that I don't think people give Ohio State credit enough for, or they should realize, guys, like every second player in the NFL is from Ohio State right now. All right. So as much as Alabama have NFL talent, so do Ohio State. And a player that also really made a name for himself was Trey Sermon. This kid had a great game. I love Olave as well. It was nice to see him healthy and getting open. They do have skill position players. They do have talent, but damn, so do Alabama, and Alabama are deep, aren't they? Talk to me about this football game and the matchup.
Well, a while ago when you were talking about this Alabama team, those SEC coaches, they're primarily talking about Alabama's offense. Like I told you, I go back to the early 60s of watching Alabama, and this is by far the best total offense I've ever seen Alabama put on the field. That's what Ohio State, everybody, I really thought that was going to be the case with this Ohio State offense this year. You didn't really see it until the other night against Clemson and Brent Venables' venerable defense, you know, and they 639 yards pretty much tells the story. But the bottom line is they both have great offensive line, Ohio State and Alabama. And you know, Wyatt Davis is an All-American at right guard. His grandfather was Willie Davis, who died this past April. You know, great defensive end for the Green Bay Packers. But they've got a great offensive line and two tight ends who obviously got into the mix more so than before, catching the ball. Two tight ends caught three touchdown passes. Who saw that coming? Definitely not Clemson. but the bottom line is both of these teams are just stacked on offense. And Trey Sermon, transfer from Oklahoma, originally from Georgia, had a knee injury last year at Oklahoma, was pretty much the end of this season. A lot of people wondered how 100% he would get back to 100%, and he didn't get the spring ball. He didn't get preseason camp with Ohio State because there weren't any because of the COVID situation. He and this offensive line have definitely matured and grown together, and there's a rhythm to them that's undeniable right now, much like Alabama and Najee Harris. I mean, these are two ridiculous offenses they'll be scoring off against defenses on both sides that have some question marks. And this is not the best Alabama defense you've ever seen, and this is not the best Ohio State defense you've ever seen, but they seem to make plays when they need to. And so that's what makes this so interesting, Gabriel. When you could, you know, what's the over-under right now is in the 70s. That's crazy for a championship football game. You know, and as we speak right now, and who knows, it may go up. But the way Ohio State played the other night, it was finally the fruition of what I thought this Ohio State offense was going to be about all the way around, with the most talented overall quarterback they've ever had, and a running game, and then wide receivers and Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, who take a backseat to no one. So it's going to be interesting, especially when you saw today on the wire that Waddle may be cleared for practice at Alabama. That's an interesting development.
Yeah, that's all they need, because Devontae Smith's no good, right? They don't need. I swear, man, we've seen a lot of great wide receivers at Alabama, but there's something special about this kid. Like, there really is. Like, in the past, you know, Julio Jones, some guys, remember Leonard Fournette in college? He was great because he was bigger, stronger, faster than everybody at the time, right? And he ran people over. And he got to the NFL, and it wasn't the same dominance. Smith isn't, like, bigger, faster, stronger. He's just so smooth, man. He has that it factor. of smoothness on the football field and the footwork. Beautiful, just, you know, beautiful offenses to watch. And as you stated, and I am a betting man, and thank God everything is, of course, legal everywhere right now. It's no longer for recreational purposes. And I'll tell you what, I'm not betting any under this game, Tim. I'm not betting any under.
I think
it might be at 50.
I think it'd be folly. Yeah, I think it could be folly because this is Alabama's got a better offense than Clemson had, in my honest opinion. Got to see them live, you know, against each other. You know, styles make fights, as Buster Douglas's former manager J.D. McCauley told me a long time ago. You know, I mean, I covered that fight, and you're exactly right. But both of these teams seem primed to just throw haymakers on next Monday, and may the best man win.
That's amazing you bring up Buster Douglas. Yeah, Buster's an Ohio guy, right? Is that how you cover?
Yeah, I mean, I covered that fight. I got some aplomb because I predicted in the column that morning that Buster would win the fight, and I got all kinds of crap for it, and then, of course, he did. But, Columbus is a bad place to cover sports, that's for sure.
Tim May, kicking with, that's unbelievable. You picked Buster Douglas, and so many people at the time after say, oh, you know what? I would have bet that, and it was this and that. And as a betting man, I remember it was next to impossible to get a bet in because no one thought it was possible. It was almost like viewed as an exhibition. It was 42-1, guys. And to put it in context, the biggest fight odds we ever see in recent memory are like, you know, 18-1, 16-1. Mike Tyson was 42-1. So it wasn't a case of like, and guys, it wasn't in the old days. There wasn't a million, you know, there wasn't FanDuel. There wasn't DraftKings. There wasn't like all these offshore online books. So not a lot of people actually bet on that. But I wish I did. And I wish I read your column that morning. One of the greatest sporting moments of all time. Letterman Rowe with us. So, Tim, man, time just flew by here this evening, man. We really loved having you on the program. Love your passion for the game. We really appreciate you taking the time to be with us on Sports Grid and Sports Ridge Late Night.
Oh, yeah. Hey, check out my podcast, too. I got Orlando Pace on there this week talking about Ohio State and the offensive line and just how good this team is, man. It's pretty interesting. I mean, he's the greatest offensive tackle I ever covered or I ever saw in college football, and he always has great insight.
Listen, we got to get out of here. We got 10 seconds. Who wins the game? Final score prediction, if you have one?
I think Ohio State has the firepower to beat Alabama, but you got to make plays. I think Ohio State does win the game because I think they'll make two or three more plays than Alabama does.
Tim, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, my man. Happy New Year.
Enjoyed it, Gabriel.
Remember, you can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, satellite, or the internet. To make it any easier, we'd have to move in with you. And nobody wants that. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If sports talk stations were cars, we'd be the one that you drove the wheels off of in high school, cruising for chicks and going to the game on Friday nights, then forgetting where you parked it till Saturday morning and you had to get your buddy to drive you around looking for it.
I think I see it, man.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, great stuff with Tim May. Tim May Sports, thanks for kicking it with us. You know, Ryan Day is an interesting name right now this week, as is Justin Fields. Yeah, there's a national championship at stake, but really, you know, do I care who wins the national championship? No. Do I want to win my bet? Yes, I like the over in the football game. But to me, what's interesting, I want to see these big-time players perform on this stage. I want to see Justin Fields perform on this stage against Alabama. I want to see Mac Jones perform. I want to see Harris. I want to see Smith. I want to see Saban. I want to see Dan. I want to see all these guys. They're all elite. I like watching people that are damn good at what they do, and all these guys are damn good at what they do. And, you know, it's interesting because Ryan Day's name is popping up most notably with the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right? The Urban Meyer stuff, and I said this earlier, Urban Meyer throws this stuff out there himself. Like, Urban Meyer always puts his name out. Urban Meyer's a hustler. He's a genius. He knows how to do this stuff. And like I said, Urban Meyer is going to walk into Fox and he's going to say, hey, you know what? I really enjoy doing this Saturday college football show with you guys. My phone's ringing. That's just Notre Dame. Remember, like, he threw, you know what I mean? He's the king of this. He loves having his name out there. Urban Meyer's never spent 1 second in the NFL, right? The guy spent more time as a high school coach than he did as an, he's never been an assistant in the NFL in one capacity even. Like, so, you know, Ryan Day, though, on the other hand, but it's interesting. So Adam Schefter's now reporting that Ryan Day is not interested and not taking NFL interviews right now. But Fitzgerald is. Fitzgerald from Northwestern is. And Fitzgerald's another guy in NFL teams like, yeah, whatever. That's you know, that goes nowhere. Listen, I'm not saying that Ryan Day is going to be the coach of Jacksonville. But what is Ryan Day going to say right now? Hey, coach, are you interested in an NFL gig? Yeah, I have the national title game in 5 days. But, oh, yeah, I'm in talks right now with various NFL teams, and I'm thinking about it. Come on, man. What do you expect him to say? Late night anger management class. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Non-stop live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. What, are you not going to listen? We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.